And from time to time, we experience a season in the school of bitterness or the school of life. This is a time and place in their life that they would need God like this group of people had never needed before. Now, this story teaches us what to do when we are in a bitter time in our life that has left us hurting and hungry. Exodus 15 and verse 22 says, "Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water because it was bitter. That is why this place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against their pastor. They grumbled against Pastor Moses, saying, 'What are we to drink?' Then Pastor Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet as a result of that act of obedience. There the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and it was there that he tested them. He said this to his congregation: 'If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all of his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases that I brought upon your enemies, the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you.' Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. And it says in chapter 16 and verse 1, the whole Israelite community set out, or they continued their journey from the place called Elim." This is a story that takes place over the entire book of Exodus. But specifically, I'll be looking at the first 18 chapters of the book of Exodus. Now, thankfully for you, we won't be looking at all 18 chapters this morning, but just these few verses. But over these 18 chapters, we get a chance to be in the front seat, so to speak, and watch how the Lord delivers his people. We get to see the power of his outstretched arm and the mighty acts of his judgment and his redemption. We get to see how the Lord calls people into leadership that stutter. He looks at people's frailties and weaknesses, and where most would disqualify them from leadership, God puts a premium on those who seem to stutter and are flawed just a bit. In this drive in the car this morning, we're going to see how the Lord declares war on not just the Egyptians, and that was Israel's enemies, but we see how the Lord will declare war on our enemies. As we take this journey together, we're going to see over the next few weeks how the Lord provides for his people. That he provides for you, he provides for me, and he provides such things as healing, meat, manna, water, and protection. This morning, we're going to take a little bit of a look at how he provides healing for us. Next week, Pastor Clint will be preaching, and we'll be taking a look at, through his sermon, how God provides meat. He's going to help you to understand how we can't just live on carbohydrates, but that we have to have some spiritual protein. We've got to have some good, red, spiritual meat in order to be overcomers and conquerors. But that's next week. This week, we're going to look at how God provides healing. Now, I want to remind you that life is a journey. And in this journey, we must, number one, learn many new lessons. Number two, we must fight many new battles. And number three, we must be willing to be led by God to many new places in knowing him. That sometimes that even involves being led by God to some dark, to some dry, to some barren, and to some bitter places in our life. You see, friend, life is a school, and the Lord knows just when to give us a pop quiz. Now, from last week, I had some life lessons. I'm going to remind you what those are. Life lesson number one, the Lord tests us. Say that with me. The Lord tests us. This is only a test. In the event of an emergency. Ever hear that before? Well, see, friend, the Lord tests us. And the test is meant to encourage our spiritual growth. And it's designed to bring the best out of us. I found, though, along the way, just like their story, it usually causes the worst to surface before we see the best. Look at your spouse and tell him, "I know just exactly what he's talking about." Life lesson number two, the devil tempts us. And that temptation is meant to bring out the worst in us, and it's designed to encourage spiritual immaturity. Life lesson number three, thou shalt not get up and walk out while the pastor's preaching. I'm sorry, I misread my notes there. Number three, the attitude that we take toward our difficulties determines which direction in life. And don't you feel bad for her? Number three, the attitude that we take toward our difficulties determines which direction in life we will go. There's a lot of things in life that you're not going to be able to control. The one thing you can control, the one thing you do have power and authority over, is the attitude that you choose in life. Life lesson number four. What life does to us depends largely on what life finds in us. God will lead us to a place, and not only will we find something in that place, but that place will reveal something in us. Life will find something in us in that place. Life lesson number five. One great victory doesn't settle everything. I think sometimes you and I forget that. I've heard myself at times think and then say, if I can just get past this, then everything's going to be all right. The problem with that is this has many cousins. There is many family members in the family of this. And once you meet cousin this, then you meet uncle that, and then uncle that. You get the point? One victory doesn't settle everything. Now, this leader by the name of Moses who stuttered, he knew that. And yet the people didn't know that. They got to a tough place. They went through a tough time. It was a dry place. It made them hungry. It made them thirsty. But it also revealed that something deeper lay in their heart. And that was a place called bitter. You see, friend, bitterness is more than just a place on the outside of us that possibly we're going through. It's more than just a season in our life. Many times, bitterness can be a poison on the inside of us. This bitterness, this poison, can steal both our affection and our direction. And that's what's happening in the life of the Israelites here. There's a bitterness deep inside them. There's something in them that could continue to keep them wandering for the rest of their life, living without the promises of God, living in a lack of answered prayer. And so God leads them to a place that will pull to the surface the very things that will cause them to be in bondage all the days of their life. Now, we have to rewind for just a moment. You ever struggle with certain words? I struggle with rewind. And it sounds right here, but when it comes out, it's rewind. So if you'll rewind for just a moment with me, we have to remember that these individuals don't know God very well. They're in a place that they're having to get to know God in a way they've never had to know Him before. They've been enslaved. They've been in bondage in Egypt for over 400 years. And those years taught them to be impoverished, taught them to live without God. They didn't have a need for God because they were under the rule and the reign and the authority of something or someone else whose name was Pharaoh. That reminds each of us of our life before Christ. Before finding Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we lived under the rule of someone or something else. That someone or something else ruled our affections. It also determined our direction. And what's happening in their lives is that God has more for their life than where they are, both on the outside and on the inside. And so He leads them to a place to pull out of them everything that can keep them from God's best for them. So He leads them to a place called Mara, which means bitter. But the bitter wasn't just on the outside of them. The bitter was on the inside of them. They didn't get it. They didn't see it. They didn't know that that was a Pharaoh in their life. That was a ruler in their life on the inside. And you see, that ruler stole their affections, stole their passions, stole their dedications and direction. And so here we find that this leader, though they didn't know, he knew that bitterness could steal a person's affection and their direction. Not only did Moses as a leader know that, but God knew that. God will take you to a place, and it'll be a hard place. It'll be a barren place. It'll leave you hungry and thirsty. And on the outside, you'll want to get mad at that place or the people in that place. And those people in that place may give you a reason to be bitter, but in the middle of all that, God will say, it's not just on the outside of your life, it's on the inside of your life. And it's stealing your affection. It's stealing your direction. That's why you can't be consistent in victory. That's why your marriage goes through some good seasons, some bad seasons, and then some real ugly seasons. That's why your finances are up one day and then down the other. That's why your physical body continues to stay sick. God will lead you to a place to help you see the barriers and the bitterness things in your life that cause you not to get beyond where you are, that steal your affection, that alter your direction. God didn't want these people to die in the wilderness. God didn't want them to die out there in the desert. God had more for them. I meet people every day who have decided to move into a camp called bitterness. They get to a bitter experience in their life, and then they stay trapped there, or they choose to live there their entire life. And every time the conviction of the Holy Spirit starts working on them, guess what happens? That's the first message they hear from God. The pastor can be preaching on love, and the whole time they're sitting there so mad at him for preaching on love, because the whole time they're thinking about one person in their life that hurt them, one place that bruised them. The whole time thinking, now I think Jesus died on the cross for everyone but that place and that person. And the whole time be justified. What you have to understand is God's people in this place of their life didn't know that they didn't know. And what became reality is they blamed everyone else. If you find yourself blaming everyone else for the poison inside of you, you need to take a step back. And you need to ask yourself, what's wrong with the picture here? It can't be everyone. Because what happens is if you get bitter in one place and take that place with you, you're going to get bitter over the same things over a period of time in the next place. And what we've got to do is recognize this morning is that God loves us enough to alter our direction so that He can recover for us and for Him His affections. If you are like the Israelites, you'll blame it on someone. They look at Moses and they're saying, man, you got us into this mess. Now you get us out. It's all your fault. In time we see that they said it would have been better to just be left in slavery and bondage than to come out here in God's promises and walk by faith and die in the desert. I watch people do that every day. They're blaming their boss. They're blaming their spouse. They're blaming their children. They're blaming the economy. They're blaming the president. They're looking everywhere on the outside, and they're missing what God is saying to them on the inside. You see, the story here shows a group of people that they didn't know that they didn't know. And the reality is for you and I to read it so that we can know. See, bitterness can dry up everything good in your life and leave you hungry and thirsty in a barren place. Now, Moses, having been bitter, having been in the bitter place before, he knew that. And verse 25 says that he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. This piece of wood is symbolic of the cross of Jesus Christ. He cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him the cross. And he took that wood, he took that reflection of the cross, and he threw it into the water, and the bitter place in those people's lives became sweet. Here's some more life lessons. I'm going to leave you with these today, and coincidentally, these happen to rhyme. So you'll be able to remember this. How many of you know something's really, really God when it rhymes? Because God is a rhymer. Number one, when you journey through the bitter places in life, make sure that you cry out. Cry out. Hebrews chapter 12 says, beginning in verse 12, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy, because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and to defile many. See, for God's people, that bitter root had grown, and it was deep, and it was dark, and it was ugly inside of them. And it was not just defiling them as individuals, but it had defiled the whole nation. And so God leads them to a place on the outside that is a reflection of their spiritual condition on the inside. And then he says to them, I'm going to strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. I'm going to give you my strength. We heard him say that this morning. We heard the Lord say through the gifts of the Spirit that he is here to strengthen us. And yet it's not just enough to receive that strength. Verse 13 says that we are to make level paths for our feet. When you hold on to bitterness, then bitterness holds on to you. And it makes it very difficult for the path that your feet have to walk. Bitterness puts potholes in the path of your spiritual feet. And notice here it says that we're to make level paths for our feet so that the lame may not be disabled. God leads you to a place, and that place will be a reflection on the outside of just how lame you are on the inside. But I got some good news for you. Just because you've been lame all of your life doesn't mean you have to be lame for the rest of your life. Isn't that good news? There's still hope for us. Just because we've been lame all of our life doesn't mean we have to still be lame the rest of our life. But what it does mean is that when we receive God's strength, we are to take that strength and make sure that we are leveling the paths for our feet so that we'll not continue to stay disabled, but rather we will be healed. God gives us that strength to make sure our paths are level. And then in verse 14, he says, here's my strength. Use it to make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Wow. When I first read that, I remember thinking to myself this weekend as I prepared, wow, it seems that making every effort to live in peace with all men is synonymous with being holy. Because it says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy, because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See, I think we all want everybody else to be holy, but we're not so committed to making sure we're living at peace one with one another. Do you know it takes God's strength, hello, to live in peace with all men. Now you and you and you and you, not so hard, but you and you and you and you and you. You see, some of you make it really difficult to live in peace. And you know who you are. So the reality is, you must be using your strength for other purposes. The Bible says that we have God's strength, but it's not just so we can look good, feel good, and get chicken skin when we get slain in the Spirit. It's so that we can walk in the Spirit and make every effort to level the paths for our feet, make every effort to live in peace with all men, so that then we can see God. And then as we see God, we're to see to it that no one else misses the grace of God, and that this bitter root that was once in us doesn't continue to grow in others and cause trouble and defile many. Moses knew all of this, and that's why he cried out. And that's what God wants you to know. He wants you to cry out. Number two, when you journey through the bitter place in life, make sure that you look out. Point number one was cry out. Point number two is look out. See, God always leaves something sweet for the something bitter in our life. God has already gone before you. Ever before you find the bitter place in life, and he has already left a piece of wood in that place. And the wood is symbolic of the cross. He is wanting you to get there and recognize, man, I'm not just mad. I'm not just frustrated. I'm not just unforgiving. I'm bitter. Bitter, party of one. No smoking, bitter, party of... Your table is ready. That's when we're to realize, wow, I'm bitter. Say that with me. I'm bitter. We call it a lot of other things, but until we call it for what it is, we can't get free of it. And what happens is, not only did Moses cry out, but he looked out. And like a lookout in an old-time ship, the lookout was designed to look out for land. Ahoy! Chips ahoy! I see land! See, when you cry out to the Lord, then He gives you His strength to look out. And you can look out and you can find the piece of wood in your life that makes the bitter places in your life sweet again. Somewhere in your bitter wilderness experience is the cross. And He is wanting you to look out, and not just look out, but look up and see Jesus Christ on that cross for you, on that cross for your brokenness, on that cross for your bitterness, so you can take the power and the authority and the ability of the cross, and you can throw it in the most bitter places of your life and stand up and say, because of Jesus Christ, my bitter has been made sweet again. Amen. One of our spiritual fathers always tells us, don't let the devil lick the sweet off your candy. It's very deep. Think about it. And sometimes the devil has names. Bob and Sarah. And if your name is Bob or Sarah, I'm just hypothetically using your name. Unless, of course, you are bitter, party of one. But what you have to do is you have got to refuse to allow a place and a person to lick the sweet of the cross off your faith. Well, I thought that would go over better. That didn't work. I'll go back to Scripture. Hebrews 12 says in verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and now has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Here's my point. Not only are you to cry out, but you are to look out. Because on the cross 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ endured the bitter that we might experience the sweet. Number three, after you've cried out, after you've looked out, how many can guess what you need to do next? It's got to rhyme with cry out and look out. Try move out. Try move out. When I started thinking of moving out, I started thinking of when I was a kid, one of my favorite TV shows was Gomer Pyle. How many of you are Gomer Pyle fans? How many of you know a Gomer or two? Now, he had this sergeant by the name of Sergeant Carter. And one of the things that I'll never forget about Sergeant Carter was he could never do anything without yelling. And Pyle never got it right in his eyes. And he always was right up in his ear. And Sergeant Carter had Private Pyle's ear. Let's say that together three times as fast as we can. Private Pyle's ear. So he would say, move it, move it, move it. How many of you remember that? That's what you got to do. After you've cried out and looked out, you got to make sure you've moved it. You've got to move out. Literally, chapter 15 ends in Exodus chapter 15. And chapter 16 begins a new chapter, not just in the book, but in their life. It says in verse 1, the whole Israelite community set out. They moved out. They didn't camp out in the bitter place. They moved out of the bitter place. You've got to learn to move out. You've got to learn to move on. Some of us drag baggage with us everywhere we go. We go from one bitter Mara place to the next. And we take our academy tent with us. And when we started this journey, it was just a little pup tent. Baby, we've added on. It's like five stories. We got a little stove going, a little microwave action, a little satellite TV. Everywhere we go, we set up shop and we camp out and we go from place to place, from job to job, from marriage to marriage, from church to church, from bill to bill. And here we go. Hi ho, hi ho. It's off to the bitter place I go. And we're kind of all the dwarfs mixed up into one. We're sleepy, we're dopey, and let's hear a big amen for Grumpy. Grumpy, party of two. Man, I travel in churches, and I've learned as I travel to speak, who's your grumpy people? And every pastor laughs and says, well, I know exactly who they are. Here they are. Well, that's your whole church directory. Well, there you are. They're the ones that are like, hey, you're sitting in my chair. Well, you're gone on vacation. I don't care. That's my chair. Has my name right on the end, dedicated to so-and-so from the family of so-and-so. Very territorial. But we become that when we camp out in the place called bitter instead of moving out of the place called bitter. You can cry out and you can look out, but you will never see another chapter in your life. You'll never see a new beginning in your life until you move out. It's time to move out and move up to the deluxe apartment in the sky. I just want to sing it together. Come on now, because we're moving on up. I need a little help because I don't know any more of the words. Ushers. Philippians. See, you didn't know being bitter could be so much fun, did you? Philippians chapter 3 says in verse 12, not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on. I'm not talking about your fingernails here, but I press on to take hold of that, or your eyelashes, for that which Christ Jesus, or your toupee, has taken hold of for me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to taken a hold of it, but this one thing I do, at 12:30 in the afternoon, I'm going to stand up right now because pastor's dismissing. But he wants me to recognize that my standing up is a commitment to moving out. I was just trying to... Okay, there. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I want you to take the bitterness out. I want you to cry out to the Lord. I want you to look out for the Lord. And now I want you to move out toward the Lord. Paul said it like this, forgetting what is behind, throw it on the ground. Visually, throw it on the ground. Yeah. Throw that bitter place out of your life. Evict the bitter place and the people you've been bitter towards. Let them go. And forget what is behind so that you'll have the strength of God to strain towards what is ahead. Press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called you heavenward in Christ Jesus. And then Scripture finishes by saying simply that if the people would take time to cry out, to look out, and then to move out. If they would listen carefully to the voice of the Lord their God and do what was right in His eyes, if they would pay attention to His commands and keep all of His decrees, then He would not bring any of the diseases on them that He brought on their enemy. And He said, "For I am the Lord who heals you." Get rid of the stuff that kills you right now. Throw it to the ground, forget about it, and strain towards He who heals you. Now, His word has been preached. It's the most powerful thing on earth is His word. And this morning, you can receive your healing. You see, some of us have had our hands so full of stuff that poisons and diseases our lives that we can't get well. And this morning, your doctor, your pastor, your Moses said, "Hey, let's not stutter and stammer around here in the camp called bitterness anymore. Let's move out." Close your eyes, bow your hearts, and let the bitter place and those you've been bitter towards go. Don't send a forwarding address. You're moving out and you're moving up. And even now, as you're emptying your hands by confessing your sin unto the Lord, now confess your need for the Lord. Invite the Lord right now into your heart, right where you are. Invite the Lord right into your physical body that needs healed. Invite the Lord into your place called bitter. Throw the wood of the cross into your bitter water and let Him right now begin to heal you and make the waters in your life sweet again. Go ahead right now. There's a healing in this room today because His presence is here. It's strength for your life to be made whole. I just believe there's a tremendous healing in this room today because of His word that does not return void. I believe there's a healing for marriages, for families, for finances, for physical bodies, for emotions, and for mindsets. God is healing you, and not only is He bringing you out of Egypt, but He is bringing Egypt out of you. Now go ahead and just declare with a round of applause that by His stripes this morning, you have been made whole. You're moving on.